We are picking up with Rav Asher Weiss. Again, we've been jumping around in the Sefer, so I found one that we have not yet done. And that is an interesting dilemma. As you see from the title, Yesha L'Harich V'Yesha L'Katzer. When are we supposed to be overemphasizing or emphasizing significantly tefillah, which is going to be the context, as we shall see, and when do we focus more on hishtadlus and a little bit less on tefillah? Right? Very interesting question, and we'll see what the direction he takes. So the basis of this, we don't have to read it all inside, but the basis of this, as you see the psukim quoted in the front there, are the story in Parshat Shalach when the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim, and then we know that they are caught in between the Yamsuf on the one side and the Egyptians on the other side. And you have the very famous pasuk about two-thirds of the way down where Moshe cries out to Hashem after the people, of course, are scared. And Hashem says to them very famously and very mysteriously, Ma tetzak elai, debra ben Yisrael v'yiso. Right? Moshe gets musar for davening. What are you davening for? Just go. Right? And again, out of context, this sounds like the most irreligious type of thing you could say, yet the context is it's Hashem himself, telling him, all hishtadlus, to put it in those terms, no tefillah. So what's going on here? So right away in the outset, Rav Asher asks the question, Ro'u Rabim v'gam Tamo, right? Everyone have seen this, everyone asks the same question. Hello, Manas Avosein, right? This is our Amuna, B'yadeinu, v'kach nesavinu, and are we obligated? Litzok al Hashem b'shas tzara v'tzuka, li'napel l'fana b'tachanun v'tfilah b'tzaka, mazeh shamar Hashem l'moshe, ma tetzakula, right? This is what we want every Jew to do, we're commanded to do it. Why could this possibly, be, what is going on? So basically, he's going to quote a number of sources. I think he quotes about three sources, including the Zohar, that all develop the same idea, which he introduces here, and then we'll see the language of the three primary sources right afterwards. What's the basic answer? Elishiyesh, the nigzer of Zera. There are times where a decision has been made. Hashem has Zera. The ein levat lebechol koch sheba olam. And there's nothing you could do about it, af lo b'koch ha-tefillah, even without the koach of tefillah, ki im b'chol ha-pitachon bilvad. So he says there is a phenomenon, a very mysterious idea here, intriguing phenomenon, that there could be times in which it's been decided with such decisiveness and finality that something's going to happen, and tefillah cannot help. Now that is already kind of scary and interesting, but then he adds, I think the part that makes it more, curious, is even when tefillah can't help, bitachon can. There are times where bitachon is the only thing that can help. And this is what was happening when the Jewish people were at the banks of the Yamsuf. So he starts off by quoting this idea succinctly from the Nefesh HaChaim. Rav Chaim Volozhiner mentions this way towards the beginning of his classic in Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph, Perek Tes. Says Rechaim Belozhin, here's a quote. Ube'ez kriyas yamsuf, amar hu yisbarach, matetzakilai, etc. Ratzalomer, what does that mean to say? Debididhu talya milsa. It's not up to me, so to speak, Hashem says. You can ask me, but Hashem is basically saying, I tied my own hands. Asking me to help is not going to do anything. It's not in my hands anymore. Rather, shimhema yu betokefe emuna, ubitachon. Rather, what was Hashem saying to Moshe? If the Jewish people will exhibit the ultimate in Amunah and Bitachon, Vayisa Haloch Unaso El Hayam, and how do you know that someone really believes? Right? Put your money where your mouth is. If you truly, truly, truly believe that Hashem is going to save you, what do? You walk into the river. Right? You walk into the Yamsuf. You walk into the sea. So it wasn't just like, the medieval version of bungee jumping, a thrill ride. It was, says the Nefesh HaChaim, it wasn't reckless or random. It was an expression of Emunah. And the ultimate Emunah. If they do that, Hashem, in essence, says to Moshe, Smoch libam lo yira, and they go in without fear, but full trust in Hashem, me'etzem bitchonam, with, full and true faith, Shavada yikara lefnehem, that the yam will certainly split. Oz yigramu al yidei zeh hitorut lamala. That, not that it'll happen incidentally, that bitachon can cause, can trigger a certain hitorut lamala. Shias lehem neis yikara lefnehem. So, again, let's go through the, I'm not sure we'll totally understand it, but we'll do our best to understand it after we see the other versions of this, because he's going to quote a few other sources. But they're all going to be more or less drilling down on this idea. So let's start trying to wrap our head around this, because I don't think it's so easy. Right? There could be something which Hashem says, I can't do. So therefore, don't just ask. Right? You have something you ask your parents or something, right? It's not in their hands. And yet, which is already, like, since that's Hashem, it's curious. But number two is, yet, even when you reach that point of no return, there's one magic bullet which could unlock the door. And that is an ultimate expression of emunah or bitachon in Hashem. Okay? That's, I think, read correctly what he says. He points out, this is not one of the primary sources he quotes, but he inserts here, that this idea, he said he heard many times from his Rebbe, the Kloisenberger Rebbe, who would quote it in the name of one of the earlier very famous Hasidic masters, Reb Pinchas Koritzer, Reb Pinchas Mikoritz. Right? This now is not the time, since we're up on the hard deadline of Mincha, to be Ma'arich, but in terms of the biography of Rav Asher Weiss, he considers himself a Talmud, and I would assume he's one of the Talmidim Mufakim, to put it mildly, of the Sanz Kloisenberger Rebbe, who was a Holocaust survivor, who for a brief time was actually in Chutz Laaretz after the war, but then eventually came there to Israel and rebuilt the Sanz Kloisenberg dynasty all over Israel now, but they based themselves in Netanya of all places. They're now everywhere, Bnei Brak Yerushalayim, but the biggest part is actually in Netanya. Anyway, he was an unbelievable heroic spiritual figure, a genius and a Gaon Adir, a Holocaust survivor, one of the Gedolim in the world of Hasidus and in general, and he was Rav Asher Weiss's Rebbe, that's who he's quoting. But he says, Kfar Kidmu, what do you have even earlier than that? You can go back, before Ruchayim V'Lashner, before the Divrei Yatzev, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, right? In the Makros Gedolos, you open up the Chumash, you have the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, one of the classical Mefarshim Al HaTorah. And there you have it right there. He says the following, similar idea with a little bit more elaboration. Ma Titzak Elai Perish, Ki Eina Davar Toli Biyadi, Hagam Sh'ani Chafetz Asos Neis. Right, so he's spelling it out even more than the Nefesh HaChaim did. Hashem says, I want to help you. What father wouldn't want to help? But I can't. Look at that. Introduces a whole new layer and, you know, conceptualization of this. As we know from other sources, the Jewish people were not on the highest level then. Right? They were on the 49th level of Tumah. Right? They weren't so great. So says the Or HaChaim, even though they were being taken out, but somehow there was a limit on Hashem's rachamim. Not that he didn't have the rachamim. The effectiveness, Hashem, from the midas harachamim, Hashem wanted to save them. Midas hadin, so who said they deserve it? Right, there's a very famous mimer, right? The angels say to Hashem, why you pick playing sides? Halolo ovdei avodah zarah? Well, halolo ovdei avodah zarah. Now he doesn't quote that, but that's what he's alluding to, I think. So the midas hadin was goveris, and says the Or HaChaim, somehow Hashem is, you know, checkmate. He has no more moves. He doesn't have, for all the rachamim, he can't move the immovable force of the midas hadin. But what does Hashem say? V'amrei lav, dabra b'nei Israel. So what did Hashem say? Tell the Jewish people to jump into, go into the river, the sea, perish. Zosa etza yutza lahagbir tzad achesed v'harachamim. What can you do to give like an infusion, a steroid, if you will, super steroid infusion to the midas harachamim, so that it should be able to overwhelm the din? Dabra ben Yisrael v'yitatzu be'emuna, strengthen their emuna b'chalibam, v'yisu elayam, they should go into the yam, kodim shechal, even before it splits. Al smach, they're going in with faith. Habitachon. Keni yaseh lehem neis u'be'emtzut zeh titzkaber ha'rachamim. So right now, Hashem says, the midas harachamim just, you know, first and goal, from the one, can't get in. Second goal, can't get in. It's not, what's going to push you over the top? Not tefillah, not my rachamim, Hashem says, but an unbelievable, incredible, unprecedented act of emunah. You can display that emunah, that can trigger the forces of rachamim. Let's see one more source before we try to understand it and process it and see what Rav Asher does with this. And that says, Rav Asher says, before any of this, even before the Rachaim comes the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh discusses this as well. Says the Zohar. Let's read it. It's manageable Aramaic. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yitzhak. Paro, Chakim Mikol, Char Shvei, or Char Shoy, Hava. Paro was a smarter than all of his astrologers, magicians, his machshef, all those people. Ubachol inin kisrin, ubachol inin yidin istakel. He looked in all of these, you know, magical divination things, they use the term, it's going to be repeated again in a line or two, of like a kisser, like a crown. I think that's miloshon, like a keser, like a crown. I don't know, you know, metaphor for a corona. I don't, metaphor, you know, for some, he's looking into all of these, you know, tarot cards and in the sky and the stars, all of his avodah zara things. Ubechol sitra, right? And all the evil forces, the sitra achra, like the satan and all that stuff, the lahon, and all of those places that Paro looked, lochama purkana de lahon Yisrael. He couldn't see any way out. Paro was looking into the future. He didn't see any pathway for geula, for purkana, for salvation for the Jewish people. Paro thought he had him. But what did Paro not realize? There was one keser, there's one super magical force that Paro didn't know about. Furthermore, Paro didn't realize, he saw that all of these forces, these ksharim, these kind of Kabbalistic forces or whatever, they were all tying up, so to speak. Again, I think I'm understanding this correctly. It is a Zohar after all, so everything's tentative. But it sounds like they were being bound up by these, you know, like in chains of these like spiritual dark forces. He saw, you know, how are they going to break free from those forces? There's no pathway. There's no anything. But what happened? Paro lo savar dis kishra acheres. Paro didn't realize there's one other super pathway that could break through all of these chains and bulldoze through all these closed pathways. What is that? De mehemnusa emuna, faith. The ihu shalit al kula. That could overcome everything. And based on that, this is the Zohar is explaining the itkaf libe. He's explaining why Paro hardened his heart. Why did Paro decide to go after them? Because Paro looked into the, you know, his avodah zarah and he said, we got him. I let him out, but they're stuck. I got him. And Paro didn't now, what's the point here? So Rav Asher Weiss summarizes, Paro mechashefai, right? He himself was an astrologer, at least according to the Zohar. He didn't, you know, he had his own astrologers, but he had his own powers. Yadash ein liyisrael tkuma v'tikva. The way he saw it, the Jewish people had no hope. They were done. Kol drachim nistamu, kol sharim ninalu b'fneim. All the pathways, all the gates, everything is locked. The door is closed. But tuachaya b'nitzchono, v'kach he'ala b'itztagniuso. Right? That's what he saw in his divinations and his avodah zarah and his astrology. Achlo yadohu esod ha'amuna. He didn't realize the secret power of amuna. V'lo yadoh shabotech b'Hashem chesed shabavenu. As we say, you truly trust in Hashem, you are surrounded by chesed. Afim kol shara skulos va'etzos pag kocham. Even if all the other skulos, all the other zechuyos that we have, but Hashem, but I this, but I this, but I that. Even when those fall short, emuna can overcome. Hu shamar kadosh baruch hu lemoshe rayim himna. That's what Moshe said to his faithful shepherd, ma tetzakelai, dabra ben Yisrael v'yiso. So we have from all three of these sources, and again, we'll see how Rav Asher Weiss, how he processes it, this idea, this really fascinating idea, right? That somehow, sometimes, when nothing else will help, just putting yourself in Hashem's hands, total bitachon, has the power sometimes to achieve what nothing else can. There is something about emunah and bitachon, which is not just going to supercharge our other zechusim, but can be its own force in a way that cannot be duplicated or replicated by anything else. Any question on this before we see his development of it? Okay, so far so good. Again, I'm not saying it's easy, but we understand at least what he's saying. The words, if not fully the ideas. Okay. V'nira od. The kol aser samakos on lisein v'niflosein hachana v'hechshehu l'nisayon agoda l'yishu ha'gadola shakiris yamsov. Says Rav Asher Weiss, now this is him talking, he's not just quoting these earlier sources. He suggests a very interesting idea, that all of the makos were all there to set the table, soften up the defense. Right? You call plays in the first quarter, you know, if you're really a brilliant play caller, you already have in mind what you want to do later in the fourth quarter. It was all in advance to prepare the road for the greatest display, which was Kriyas Yamsuf. The Kfar Biarti b'Makom Acher, he says, I already explained in a different place, the Kavana Kfulum Chupelet Haya Baser Samakos. There was a twofold purpose in each of the 10 makos. Kedivrei HaKosov, as the Pasuk says, on the one hand, Laman Tesaper B'Ozne Bincha Uben Bincha, Es Asher Hisalalti B'Mitzrayim, Ves Ososai Asher Samti Bam. What is the purpose of the makos? The Torah already tells us. Michad hayu amakos, onesh laparo. Hisalalti b'mitzrayim. I upended Mitzrayim. I took the mightiest empire. I turned it on its head. Shetziaru es Yisrael. They were torturing and afflicting the Jewish people. Arba meo shanim. And Hashem, with a flick of the wrist, if you will, brings them to their knees. That was one purpose of the makos. Had them begging, literally. Umeidach, but in addition, hayu amakos la'os ulamofes libnei Yisrael. It wasn't just the practical show of overwhelming force to, you know, not only destroy, but break the will of the Mitzrayim. Right? I can't remember who I was. This, I think from their last Iraq war, I was a Dick Cheney? Maybe one of the secretaries of defense, I can't remember. Rumsfeld, somebody, I remember reading the quote, was talking about how, like, when you have that first volley, because it's not just about which buildings, you know, America, or I guess it would be true for Israel when they sometimes go, you know, ballistic on a country, you know, on some place. It's not so much about the buildings. They're trying to break their will. You just need to know what's about to happen to you so that they won't even put up a fight, so to speak. So says Rav Asher Weiss, it was, on the one hand, that's what the makos were for, to destroy, to break the will of the Mitzrayim. But it wasn't just that. It was also, and maybe even more importantly, hayu amakos la'os ulamofes libnei Yisrael. Shakarsh baruch hu levado shalit b'alyonim b'tachtonim v'eino b'vado. The Jewish people, after all that time in Mitzrayim, needed to be reminded, Hashem is the big boss. Hashem can do anything. He can make fire and water and ice together, and he can make a river into blood. Hashem is in charge of everything. And they needed to believe it. Not so easy to believe, right? We say all sorts of things that we believe. Do we really? Just yesterday, I was giving a Dvar Torah on this week's Parsha, Vayera from the Chavetz Chaim. He's talking about Mashiach. Not to discuss now how we got from our Parsha to Mashiach, but the Chavetz Chaim is basically saying, in his day, the Jewish people all say they believe in Mashiach. He says it's lip service. Do they really believe? So Hashem was worried about that too. Hashem said, I can't just show up at Kriyas Yamsuf and expect them to reach it. Not given where they've been, not given the level that they're on. And therefore Hashem needed, he said, the 10 plagues to build up, if you will, to build up their spiritual immunity, fortitude, so that they'd be ready when they had to make that decision. Do we trust Hashem enough? Do we believe Hashem enough to pass that test at Kriyas Yamsuf? Had there not been the preceding Eser Makos, they wouldn't have been able to. So now he adds another point. You could file this away for great Pesach Divrei Torah. He makes the point that we know from the Haggadah that we have the Simonim, the Tzach, Adash, Ba'achav. We divide up the Makos into three groups. So he has a beautiful vort on that. He says, it's not random, it's not just cutesy. There were three different motifs of the Makos. Look at this, how beautiful it is. Look at the second line of that paragraph, third line of that paragraph. Dam Sardei Kinim, the first three, Hayu Ba'afar, Ha'aretz, Umeh Hayam, Shema Darga Hanemucha Shalabriya. That was Hashem showing his control of the lowest level of creation. The sand, the water, terra firma. Hamakos Emtzios, the middle ones, Arov Dever and Shechin, Hayu Ba'adam, afflicted human beings, Ubalei Achayim. That's Lamala Me Darga Saretz. Right, that's now a higher level of creation. Hashem's got that one too. And then the last one, Uba Arbas Achronim, right? Ba'achav, Hayu, Bigarmei Hashemayim. Those were all in things which are evenly up, either up in the sky, in the heavens. Baruchas Hashemayim, Sheheviu et Ha'arba Mimerchak. Things that brought the Makkah from a faraway place. For example, Bibarod, Shenitach Arta, the hail that was coming from the sky, Velikuya Ma'ores, Makas Choshech, or the fact that all of a sudden it got pitch black. Umeal Kulam, Makas Bechoros, Shehaya, Benefesh Ha'adam. So those more spiritual parts of creation. You have the most physical parts, the ground. Then you have slightly more spiritual, the second level, human beings, even animals, things which are living with a soul. And then you have the sky, or even above that, the soul, not just the spirit of the wind, if you will, the ruach, but the ruach of a living creature, of a human being. And why did Hashem do all of this? Chozos legalos lehudia shelokei Hashemayim hu lokei haaretz ubrei Hashemayim hu yotzer haadam, to show on all of these levels, every level of creation, Hashem is the boss, baby. Vuhu levado takif ubal hayicholet ubal hakocha kulam ein od milvado. So now he turns back to our purpose, and what do you see from this? So they had to have all of that amuna until they went into the sea. So now we have two more pages. Let's see if we can finish this up. Now he turns back to the title of the essay, which is, so this balancing act of sometimes to daven and sometimes to go. You have a page, Kof Lamed. Yeah, where's the bet? Exactly where we're up to. Yeah, you got it. So he quotes two midrashim about what happens now. So they're at the banks of the Yamsuf. They've gotten all the makos, three levels. Hashem's in charge. They've built up their spiritual immunity, their emunah. Says the Mechilta, the Medrash. Rabbi Yezer Omer, Amakosh Baruch Lamoshe, Ben Yisrael, Lamoshe. Banai Nesunim Betzara. Hayam Soger, Vasoni Rodeif, right? The river, the Yam is closed. The enemy is pursuing them. And you're davening at the Marba Betfila. Matetzak Elai. Shai Rabbi Yezer Omer, Yeshal Harich, Yeshal Lekatzer. There's a time for Tfila, and there's a time for action, right? Sometimes you talk, sometimes you gotta move, sometimes you gotta show up. After all, we see this even in Moshe Rabbeinu. On the one hand, when he's davening for Miriam, Kelna, Rafana Allah. Right? Five words. Harizel Katzer. That's the whole tefillah. Sometimes five words. Other times, that Napalef Ne'ashem Kabrishana Arba'im Yom, when he's talking about, you know, praying for them, right? Chere Egel. So that is the Harizel Harich. Then he had 40 days of davening to save them. Five words or 40 days? Similarly, the Sifrei, we won't read it because we don't have time. Another Medrash makes the point. The Gemara in Brachos makes the point. So what do you see from this, says Rav Asher Weiss? Hare Chazal lo pitchu lanu shari ora. Here's the problem. And again, this is what's so good about this. He's being honest, right? Rav Asher's keeping it real. Says it's nice to say that there's different times, but could you please let me know when is which? Says Rav Asher Weiss, we don't know. Chazal lo pitchu lanu shari ora ladas eis uzman lekol chepes. How do we know which one? We weren't told. Eis laharich. When to go long, when to go short. Why by Miriam it was short, why by that it was long, we don't know. However, what can we see from this? That we don't know. That's the bottom line. We don't know. There's a lot we don't know in life. We have to be honest about that. However, he says, what do we see from these previous three sources? The Or Chaim, the Zohar, Chaim Voloshiner, and the Bekoach HaBitachon, Hashlim et Koach HaTfilah. Tefillah is a potent force. But even tefillah can come up short sometimes. But what can be me'al u'me'ever, even tefillah? That is bitachon, is the true and genuine faith. Let's skip to the bottom of the page, skip the parentheses. Ubir adever. Now let's go. This is it, the last part, to explain. What's going on? Why is bitachon so uniquely powerful? Dehalo kol koach ha'tefillah, eino ela b'kach sh'aydei tefillah so, gorim adam liftoch la'atzmo et shari ha'shefa, again, don't ask me how this happens, you know, in the upper spheres. But in terms of the mechanics of tefillah, says Rav Asher Weiss, what are we hoping to accomplish with tefillah? To, so to speak, as he puts it here at the top of Kuf Lamed Aleph, top of the last page, to open up, to so to speak, access the Shari HaShefa, the Hashem's, you know, overwhelming kindness and goodness and blessing, Beribui HaRachmi V'Chesed, right, with unlimited mercy and kindness. He quotes a beautiful word from the Rashba. Right? This is not a Chassidish Rebbe. The Rashba says, what's the lashon of a bracha? Milashon brecha of ribui. Like an overflowing stream or spring, right? In abundance. That's the idea of bracha. The shefa zeh mitrabev yored gam b'koach mitzvah bitachon. So what do we see from here? Just like bracha and davening is supposed to try to hopefully access Hashem's extra mercy, what you see from these three sources is, in the same way, but in certain ways even more powerfully, that's the ability of bitachon. And now he tries to explain a little bit what we saw with Miriam versus the Egel. So we can at least get this last paragraph in. 4 minutes, according to my clock. Efshar, the Mishum Kach, Kasher Yisbalel Moshe L'Rufuasa Shel Miriam, when he was davening for Miriam, Shaisa Tzadekes Gemura, she was a Tzadekes, Wistama Oz Haya, Bitchona Bagash Baruchu, Harofi Kol Basar, Mafli Lasos, says Marsha Weissavort. When he was dealing with Miriam, Moshe understood that maybe tefillah, maybe he had to help, but it wasn't like he was helping someone who was like a wayward. It's Miriam Anaviyah. She no doubt had a tremendous bitachon. So he just needed to like be mashlim, the straw that broke the camel's back. Therefore, Lohirich b'tfilaso, he just did a little bit. But when he was davening al bnei Yisrael achred egel, Hakadosh Baruch Hu yimcha lavonam v'lo yisa etzlam hashlam asabitachem amakam atvila, then it was all on Moshe. It wasn't like the Jewish people were such tzaddikim and he was just kind of helping out. He was schlepping them the whole way, not just across the finish line. Ram Moshe Raya Mehimna Sorklin Apel of Nesham Arich Betvila. So there's a kind of a yin yang relationship. The more you know, you have tefila, okay, that can you can you know then mashlim that with the bitachon, and the more you see there's already bitachon, then you can mashlim it with tefila. So now he concludes by saying, this is what happened at the banks of the Yamsuf. This is what happened when Hashem said, right, when you're crying out for me, you should go. That is to say, if you jump into the river, not stam, but you're jumping into the river because that's gonna, that is an act of unbelievable bitachon, a zayba kocha bitachon, yinatzlu af b'mira tefila. And Echanamis is beautiful. The matitakilai, short davening, don't waste time. That's like the Kel Narafana short davening. When can you get away with quote unquote short davening? When you have maximum faith. So you or I, maybe Nebuch, we're davening for somebody. We are ye of little faith, so we need to do a lot of davening. But if you're a big, big tzaddik, who already has, you come to the Tehillim already with enormous amounts of faith, then actually you may need less tefillah. That's exactly, he says, what happens here. He says a final extra point. Let's be honest, the Jewish people didn't even deserve to be redeemed. After all, they had already complained to Moshe. Not enough graves in Mitzrayim. Therefore, Moshe had to teach them. There's something called tshuva samishkal. Sometimes when you do tshuva, you have to do it in a way that compensates for whatever you were missing. So what were they missing there at the banks of the Yamsuf? They were missing their amunah, hamibli. So when they were missing their amunah, what did they have to do to make up for that? An extreme act, an extreme expression of amunah. And this is what Hashem wants. He concludes, matetzakilai, that is to say, last sentence, kasher yichnasu l'toch hayam v'yiftachu b'akash baruch shehatzilam, when they go into the water with absolute faith, b'kach tigdel z'chusam v'yinachku es asher avosav v'yu realize. Then they'll actually be deserving of the miracle. So if you ask me bottom line, can I totally understand everything? I do not. I'm not sure if Usher does, but I do not. But what he is saying for us to be aware of is the unique power of Emunah and the complementary relationship between Bitachon and Tefillah. And sometimes we need more of one without the other, but ultimately, obviously, the ideal being both. Okay. Thank you. Yashar Koyach. Have a good day.